again, everyone. Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by Asharat Blakely. What's up, Sharat?
What's up, Kyle Rasheed Draper?
Yo, we're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee, just 99 cents any size. That's 99 good reasons to switch. And I'm pained to read that. No offense, Cumberland Farms Lounge. We supposed to be in the Bay Area right now, big fella.
You're supposed to be reading this from the Bay Area. That's what really was supposed to be happening.
Seriously, how did Celtics lose Game 7, man? I'm still crushed by it. Instead, we're here in Burlington, back here in Boston. Nice weather and everything.
Beautiful
but,
day.
Man, I thought we'd be out in the Bay for a week.
Yeah, so did the Celtics. And unfortunately, they didn't handle their business. This is what happens when you don't handle your business. You get bounced.
How much of it is these dudes are young? I mean,
that's part of it.
That's a learning experience. Game seven, they got tight. Let's keep it real.
They got tight. I think they buckled under the pressure. But the one thing, Aaron Baines, he talked about this in after his exit interview. He went through something like that when he was in San Antonio, where they lost a heartbreaking Game 7, and that galvanized them for the following year where they won a title.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think there's no question, when you look at what the Celtics were able to accomplish this year, the fact that you did the hard part without Kyrie, yep, without Gordon Hayward, knowing you're going to have those guys back at the start of the season and keep them around all season, yes, that's not going to work, you're going to be all right. I think you're going to be the favorite to come out of the East, because when I look at Indiana, I look at Philly, I look at
Milwaukee.
I look at the
They'll
Celtics.
Be good, but
Celtics are better than all
those
teams.
Right, Toronto?
The Celtics are better than all those teams.
I agree with you. And, you know, that's why I think, you know, they're going to win the offseason by bringing back Kyrie, bringing back a healthy Gordon Hayward, you know. But playing the what-if game, Sharad, and I hate to do this, you didn't even need both Kyrie and Gordon.
I think
if you had just Kyrie, you beat the Cavs.
Either one of them, you beat the Cavs. Because the thing that the Celtics needed, and it became more apparent as we got deeper into the postseason, they needed that one dude.
That one dude
that you knew was, one, going to have a matchup in his favor, and two, could get buckets. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie or Gordon fit that to a T. And you hear some, and you know, when the deeper they got, the more you heard, well, do they really need Kyrie?
Right.
Well,
oh,
do they
please.
Really need Gordon? Listen here, folks who don't think Gordon Hayward got game, y'all about to get the eye-opening experience, yeah, of a lifetime this season, because Gordon could ball.
Mm-hmm.
I spent at least 15, 20 games in his last season in Utah just watching him, just to see if there was some substance to the hype. And Gordon could
ball.
So
you all in on Gordon Hayward.
Well, listen, Gordon can ball. Gordon can ball.
I agree, man. And you know, you got Kyrie coming back. You got Gordon Hayward coming back. I mean, you have any one of those guys. Because I felt like, you know, when you talk about that dude, Kyrie's not going to go 0 for 10 from 3 like Rozier did. Hayward's not going to go 0 for 10 from 3.
No.
And so you just needed somebody to make some shots down the stretch. With that being said, the young boys balled out all season.
They did.
Jason Tatum.
They did.
He was ready, yo. He was ready for Game 7. And it pisses me off that down the stretch, they didn't look for him. I don't know if Cleveland took him out of the game, you know, LeBron D'ing him up or what, but how come Tatum didn't get the ball down the
stretch?
When
I look back at the game, I mean, Cleveland made some adjustments defensively. Yeah. They made it a lot tougher for Tatum to get the ball. But I think the Celtics, they had the potential to force-feed Tatum or Al Horford, and for them to go away from both of those guys, to me, that to me is a crime. It's not so much that you went away from Al. It's not so much that you went away from Tatum. You went away from the two guys that you had that had it going.
Yeah.
And when you get into a Game 7 with such a young team, to have one guy that has it going is impressive. But to have two, one who's been your best scorer throughout the postseason, who's a rookie, and the other, your most experienced guy, the one guy who is probably thirstier than anyone on your roster to get to the next round, and for you to pretty much look them off, take some bad shots, make some bad decisions, and granted, a lot of the shots that Tatum missed, a lot of the shots that Jaylen missed are shots that we've seen them make in the past, you got to remember the moment. And
right
in that moment, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with the guy that can get you that win that night in that moment. And they didn't.
And they usually do that. That's the thing. And Tatum has the dunk. He hits the three. You're thinking, okay, here we
go. Feed the beast.
Feed the beast. And then nothing the rest of the game, basically. And with Al Horford, usually we see, Brad, when things get a little out of whack, let's get it to Al, guys. Play through Al. He'll settle everything down. And so when we talk about Game 7, you know, you look at the numbers, Rozier didn't shoot well, Jalen didn't shoot well. But it's more than that.
Yeah,
it seemed like they were antsy. They were in a hurry, in a rush.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was one of the few times where when we've seen them kind of get like that, Brad couldn't get them back under control.
Right.
I mean, I thought this was the one game where Brad's inability to get them back on track showed. And there aren't many games where that happens. I mean, you know, all the credit that Brad gets about being a great coach is well warranted. But there are times when, as good as he may be, they kids.
They kids.
They're going to be kids. And sometimes, no matter what you tell your kids, they still going to do whatever it
they're
is they want to do.
They're still knuckleheads.
Absolutely. So, that being said, this is a learning experience for them. And I think you're right. I think they're going to be so much better because of this going forward. They have to understand time, moment, and impact, and who has the best opportunity to galvanize all those factors and get it done.
All right, with Jason and Jalen, what areas of growth? Let's start with Tatum. What's the next step for him growth-wise?
Just growing. Literally getting stronger.
Physically,
not necessarily. Okay. Yeah, I mean, physically, he has to get stronger. That doesn't mean he has to put on weight and get bulkier, but he needs to be able to utilize his length in a better fashion, and strength is the best way to do that. I think he's going to have a great summer. I think he understands what he needs to do better, and I give him a lot of credit. He tends to figure out what is the next stage for him a lot quicker than a lot of rookies. When you look at the way his game evolved from the beginning of the season to where it was in the playoffs, clearly he was a guy that understood growth and how to become a better player. And as far as Jalen is concerned, I think with him, it's just building off of what he started this year. He showed the ability to knock down a corner three. I would like to see him be a little bit more in control with his ball handling. I think that's an area that he can be a lot better at, his ability to take guys off the dribble and be able to do that, draw contact, and finish. Because he has, I think, the muscle now to where when he beats a guy off the dribble, if you foul him, he should be strong enough now where he can finish. He needs to become more consistent with that part of his game. But listen, the fact that we're talking about them and the way they were able to perform and the things that they have to do better, it's clear as day that these are two guys that you latch a wagon with long term. Because they are so young, and yet they've shown so much tremendous potential already. This is a tandem that if I'm the Boston Celtics, I want them to grow together for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'd like to see them both improve, you know, in their two-man game, using screen, roll, screen, pop, whatever it is. I think that'll be key for them because I think, you know, especially with Tatum, his isolation game is on point.
Oh, my gosh.
He's hey, he don't care who you are. He's going to cross you up, dance out there, and then hit that mid-range jumper. I'd like to see. Also, I want to see him, you know, get a little bit stronger, you know, going left, finishing with the left hand around the basket, too. You know, I felt a lot of times he just, you know, relied on the right hand, even on the left side.
Even on the left side. I'm like, come on, seriously?
Right. Go strong, get the foul, get the contact, and the and one. So, I mean, but you're right. Both these guys, man, you're talking a 21-year-old, a 20-year-old getting valuable experience in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, a Game 7. So those two dudes, they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
I think they'll put in the work, and they'll be all right. What about Kyrie Irving, though? Because some people are heated about Kyrie. He wasn't there for Game 7. Danny Ainge says he had, you know, a nose job done, you know, had to get the nose fixed. You upset Kyrie wasn't there? Because he had been there during the playoffs, Sherrod.
Disappointed. I'm not upset. I mean, I understand why he wasn't there. Well, first of all, he had the surgery. The surgery was not in. Ooh, can I finish before you give me that look? Damn. if you could see the look that he gave you when I said that.
Because I know where you're about to go. But you try to make excuses for him.
There's a difference between making excuses and giving explanations. And it's a very slim difference, but it's a difference nonetheless.
All right, let me hear.
Giving you an explanation. Okay. Listen, he had surgery on the nose. The surgery was not in Boston. There's a recovery time that is required after you have that surgery. Now, people say, well, why don't you just push it back and have it later? Because the further you push it back, the further his recovery time from the actual knee injury. So now all of a sudden, if you keep pushing it back, you run the risk of potentially having it spill into when you actually want him to be with your crew, which is before training camp. That's all I'm going to say on that. Now, but again, having said that,
you don't even believe it yourself, Sherrod.
Everything I said, I believe. But having said that, I'm still disappointed he wasn't there.
Was he scared?
Scared.
LeBron James, Game 7. Don't want to see the Cavs winning in Boston.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm just throwing the question out.
Well, you can throw it out there, and I'm going to throw it right back at you. No. There's one thing about Kyrie that in the time I've been around him, that I feel pretty safe in saying there's not a lot of things right. that scare that dude.
I give you that.
I feel really good about saying that. In fact, I would go to the other extreme that it would have hurt him to be in that moment and not be able to do a damn thing about the outcome. That, to me, is the reason why I would think about not wanting to be there. Because in a game seven, you, Kyrie, you're thinking, wait a minute, game seven. Oh, wait a minute, that's right. That was the game where I showed out.
Yep,
that was the game where that chip that they celebrated in the mistake by the lake, I got them that chip. I knocked that shot down. I had it going on in the
back. Then why wasn't he there then?
Because
LeBron might have been shook seeing Kyrie on the sidelines. LeBron might have been a little bit shook seeing Kyrie over there.
The only thing LeBron is shaking is the defender that's trying to slow him down. That's the only thing that is shaking with LeBron. Please.
All right. I mean, I'm a little disappointed too. The word is disappointment.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish you'd have been there. I do wish you'd have been there. But I get it. And as a competitor, the way he loves to compete. I think it's even for him going to the games he did go to, I think that was really, really tough because
tough.
This is why you came to Boston.
Right. This was your time.
This was your time. Yeah. This was literally, if you had to break the season up into like 10, 15, 20 game chunks and you had the regular season and then you had the postseason, if he could have his way and say the heck with the regular
season,
just make sure I'm good for the postseason, he would have taken that.
Yeah, no doubt. So what's this offseason going to look like for the Celtics? You know, we got the draft coming up. Sean Devaney saying that, you know, the Celtics would like to try and swing a deal, move up to get Mo Bamba, you know, Mark Murphy saying, I don't believe that.
Here's the thing about let's just start with Mo Bamba.
Let's start with Mo.
Now, he's a good player.
Good player.
But you're gonna find people as we get closer to the draft, and you're gonna hear this. They're gonna be hating on him.
Really?
Because he's got all this great wingspan and size and length. But there's some concerns about just how serious he is about becoming an NBA player, how serious he's about the game. You're going to hear more as we get closer to the draft. But at number six, you're not going to get him there.
Yeah,
he's a legitimate top five player in this draft because of his potential and his upside. But the Celtics, listen, their focus is going to be bringing the band back together. Because, frankly, they really don't know what they have.
Yeah.
When you talk about not having a Kyrie Irving and not having a Gordon Hayward, and, you know, a guy we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but he was one of those real stealth contributors during the regular season, Daniel Tice,
your boy.
When you get all those guys back in the mix, you're going to be all right. You're gonna be a team that can beat anyone and everyone in the NBA. You should be the favorite to come out of the East because your roster from top to bottom is better than anyone else. And I don't care if LeBron stays in Cleveland and they find a way to get Paul George to come to Cleveland.
If they get Paul George.
I still say the Celtics have a better roster from top to bottom. Hear my words. From top to bottom. Because you about to open your mouth and flap some nonsense.
Dude.
Letting you know. From top to bottom.
Can Cleveland swing a deal for Kawhi Leonard?
If you're willing to part with Kevin Love,
why would you want Kevin Love if you're San Antonio?
That's really not your kind of guy. A guy that you know is a defensive liability 99.8% of the time, but not against Golden State because he'll be matching up with Looney.
That's true.
Kevin Love, the defensive stopper.
Exactly. We'll talk about the finals in a minute. But regarding Mo Bamba, you know, for me, if the Celtics are going to move up, they got to give up something.
Yeah.
You can't
Terry
just.
Rozier. And I don't think that'll be enough. You're going to have to give up Jalen, big fella.
And you're not willing to do
happening.
That's not happening.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not going to happen. You're going to have to give up a player and, you know, that Sacramento
pick. Because you would have
Memphis
to move
pick.
Into the top five to have a shot at him. Number six, because really, there's like seven or eight guys, but I mean, really, I think
the
there's two.
Six,
there's
a, or
that's dicey. If you're thinking about targeting him at that six spot, that you're rolling the dice that he's going to be there. I'm not convinced he's going to be there at six.
No, I agree with you. I think he's a top five pick, you know, and so that's why I don't think I agree with you. I think Danny's just going to bring the band back. I think you know.
He should. I mean, think about it. Think about this for a second. The guys that you could potentially lose are Aaron Baines, who had the best defensive rating of any player who saw action in 50 more games. You're talking about bringing Marcus Smart, who you have groomed for years and has proven himself to be an elite defender in this league for a team that basically their foundation is based on defense.
Yep.
Now, if you can't afford him, that's another story. But at the very least, you need to make him a priority if you can get a deal done that makes sense. You bring those two guys back, plus Kyrie, plus Gordon Hayward, plus Daniel Tice, all of a sudden, you got a 9-10 man rotation that if you look at their top 9-10 for other teams in the NBA, Come on now.
And I feel like you win the offseason. I know whoever gets LeBron is going to be – that's going to be viewed as the winner. But you're bringing back Kyrie. You're bringing back Gordon Hayward. You're talking two all-stars. You know, Kyrie, a top-10 player in this league. And so if you're Danny Ainge, you don't necessarily have to give up anything. No. You can stand pat, bring your guys back. But the Marcus Smart question, Sherrod.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Oh, my.
That's the big one. And we're talking dollars and cents, like DJ Quick. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Oh, look at you.
You don't know nothing about that.
Wow.
See, young fella over here don't know nothing about that. If it don't make dollars, that's Marcus Smart. That's how he's thinking. So what's the dollars? $14 million?
I think if the Celtics, I think they will tap out if it goes beyond 15. I think 15 and 15 is pushing it.
That's 15, pushing it.
15 is I can't see them giving him more than 15. And that to me, but you know what though, Draves, and I went.
He would take that. I think he'd take 15. Would. Come on.
Well, I went and looked at just like some of the guys who are in that like 10, 12, 14, 15 million range. And as crazy as this may sound, that's where Marcus Smart should be. You got guys.
But this cap year is different, Sherrod. Not as Drake, many teams got the money.
I understand that, but you're playing for a team in the Boston Celtics who you know value
but
you.
But they're not going to spend more than they have to.
Right.
They're going to say, Marcus, go out there, shop around.
But here's,
take your shopping cart, get some deals.
Let me throw this at you. Let's say a team like the Brooklyn Nets, okay,
ooh,
who I do believe will come after him.
They will.
Let's say they offer him $14 million. And you Celtics, you say, nah, we're good.
Mm.
14. Come on now, $14 million for a guy who you know is a difference maker, who you know is going to, and think about, if you lose him, okay, how are you going to replace what he brings? What, you think Terry Rozier is going to get that done?
No, I agree. I think the number is closer to 12 is what they want.
I think if
what they want,
yeah,
the Celtics.
And to me, that's why if they can get like 13, because 13 is like seems ideal. It's more, a little more than they want to pay. Not quite what he wants, but you know what? If both sides ain't happy, everybody's happy. But I think 14, 15, I think that is kind of the ceiling if you're the Boston Celtics, because you know they also have to think down the road. What are we going to do about Tatum? What are we going to do about, you know, Rozier? What are we going to do about Jaylen Brown? What about an extension for Kyrie? We got to think about
Kyrie's
that. What are we going to do with Al in a couple years when he's, you know, he's not going to be a max contract guy?
You already know the answer
to that. What I'm saying to you, he's not going to be a max. He's not going to get another max contract. But then it becomes, what does he get then?
What's his
value? So, I mean, there are a lot of questions that the Celtics, they have to answer, not only in the short term, but also long term when you start looking at their core.
Do you think ultimately they are able to bring Marcus Smart back? You think ultimately that 4 to 15 million numbers?
I do, but I'm telling you, if they can get him for 13,
they
feel great about that. If they get him for 14, they'll cringe a little bit, but they'll just, you know, it's one of them things where the check will be in hand and you'll have to
kind of yank it
a little bit. They finally get him to lose it. 15 million, that's going to be tough. That's the number. If I were a team and I wanted Marcus Smart, and I really wasn't concerned about how much it's going to eat up on my cap, I would offer 15 or 16. Because I know 15, that's going to put the Celtics in a really tight spot. 16, he's going to be mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him for 16. But do I want to spend $16 million on Marcus Smart?
Hey, that,
to me,
Portland spent 17 on Evan Turner.
Exactly. How's that working out? I mean, other than Evan Turner,
I love E.T.
I mean, he's a friend of the family. Let's be real. But I ain't paying $17 million for Evan Turner. I love the boy.
Dude. Hey, he got it. All right. Hey, the NBA Finals tipping off. Golden State and Cavs. This thing's over in 4 and 5. 4 or 5.
I'm gonna go five.
All right.
I'm gonna go 5.
You giving LeBron one game, huh?
Kevin Love Looney matchup. It's gonna pay off for one game and one game only.
Oh man, they may have to rush Andre Iguodala back. But the question is, we both agree Golden State's going to win this.
Yeah.
So what happens to LeBron James after this season? He has to go elsewhere, right?
Well, Houston's already stealthily trying to get him
CP3
there.
CP3 already on that phone.
And I would imagine when the season over, LeBron is going to try to convince Paul George to go wherever he goes.
Yeah.
I don't see LeBron going to OKC.
No, he ain't going there.
So if Paul George wants to bounce.
Lakers?
It's possible, but the problem with the Lakers, I just don't think that you add both. Let's say you add both of those guys.
It's still not enough.
No.
Not enough.
Golden State's still better than you. Yeah. And Houston, as flawed as they were exposed, you know, they're still going to be right there.
I agree.
But Clint Capella, I keep an eye on him. I think he's going to be the surprise player to be elsewhere. Houston, I got this weird feeling they're going to screw that up.
Get a lot of money, dude.
I got this weird feeling they're going to screw that up. And,
I mean,
and not pay that man his money.
How much is he? He's an $18 to $20 million dollar guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he, listen,
20 mil.
He is going to be at the top of the food chain as far as free agents because of his youth, because of his versatility and his impact. And as good as Marcus Smart is, love you to death, Marcus.
Right.
Clint Capella is going to make way more dollars than you. He's going to be top of the food chain this summer.
Yeah, and that's the question. You know, when you talk about Houston, they got Capella they got to bring back. CP3, they're going to have to, you know, does him and LeBron, do he and LeBron take, you know, hometown discounts or deals?
I'm telling you right now, though.
Everybody
is not Kevin Durant.
Right.
Everyone is not going to leave like eight figures on the table just to play with some really good players. Come on.
But where does LeBron go? Philly?
I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Cleveland.
But with who, though? A bunch of stiffs?
I'm telling you.
Their cap situation is terrible, dude.
I'm telling you. I would not be surprised if they find a way to get Paul George.
Think about it. George Hill's making $19 million.
Which that's
crazy.
To me, that's the poison pill contract.
Right.
Because you look at that contract and you put that in front of somebody and say, okay, what you going to do?
Nobody wants that.
Indigestion.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a Tums. What a Tums. You want me to eat that? Ooh. Better give me some Tums.
Exactly. Tristan Thompson's at what, 17? J.R. Smith.
I'm cool with Tristan's numbers.
Are you cool with J.R. at like 15 or whatever he's at?
But listen, you ain't getting rid of J.R. Because no one's taking that dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Shooter who can't shoot anymore, that's a bad cocktail you mixing right there.
Dude, they're in some cap issues. They got cap issues. But if
what about LeBron to Boston?
Your boy Antoine Walker brought that up. Scotty brought that up. It ain't happening, right?
I can't see it happening.
I mean, you got to get rid of who?
Well,
Gordon Hayward?
Well, here's the other thing, too. And this is what people, I think, sometimes forget about. Now, they did a deal with Cleveland at the beginning of the season.
Right.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, there's no way.
You don't think Kobe, in the back of his mind, when Danny picks up the phone and says, hey, you know, LeBron, he's thinking of, could we do maybe a sign and trade?
But if LeBron says, I want to go there, if you're Kobe, you have no choice. What leverage do you have?
And if you're Danny, you're like, oh,
but
see,
Dan
Kobe.
Gilbert. But if you're Dan you got to get something, right?
Listen.
You got to get some picks in there, too.
But the problem is this. Cleveland is not willing to position themselves to get hustled again.
Right.
They're not going to do it. And I think that's one of the challenges that Danny – it's great that Danny's got all these draft picks because I think to a large extent that's kind of how he's going to have to build this team going forward.
Yeah.
Teams are sick and tired of getting hustled by him.
Right, right.
I mean,
I agree.
Danny will say all the right things. Like, you know, you got to let deals play out over time. No. When you made that deal with Brooklyn in 13, we knew that you hustled them.
Hustle, right.
When you got Kyrie Irving, a top five – player, top 10 maybe, 25-year-old, four-time All-Star, and you gave up injured Isaiah Thomas and certainly a guy worth the money you're paying him in Jay Crowder, but he ain't no damn Kyrie Irving.
I agree.
And you already had Gordon Hayward, so it wasn't like you would lose. It wasn't like you had this big hole all of a sudden in your roster.
Right. Yeah.
Teams are tired of getting hustled, man.
They're tired of getting hustled, and that's why I think, you know, like we said earlier, they're just going to come back, be the same squad.
As they should.
And that's okay.
Listen, you will not find fans tripping over this crew coming back as is because the team that we saw here was a lot of fun to watch. People enjoyed the way they played, the scrappiness. But now it's like, okay, scrappy was cool. We went far, but let's get the big dogs back on the floor. Let's get the guys who are supposed to be the leaders of the pack because these young pups respect.
They did great. They
y'all did good. Yeah. But listen, and I know you enjoy eating at the big boy table. I know you enjoyed that, but listen, we need the grown folks got to come back. We got to get the grown folks back up here now. Come on.
Hey, lastly, what's going on in Philly? I know that's your city, bro. I know you love Philly, right?
You know I love your Philly.
Colangelo, what is going on with that dude? I mean, first of all, do you think it's true? Everything you've seen out there.
I think that there are some elements of it that are true. I'm not sure he had all five burner phones, but he already admitted to having one. And if you've already admitted to having one,
right,
it's not a stretch to think you had maybe two or three others. And when you look at just some of the stuff that you read that was in the comments, and the way that when the Ringer came out with this, and the way they basically set them up, where they only revealed a couple of them,
but then the,
and
other
then the
ones,
others went quiet
went private,
and went out when they see that. That to me was the most damning part about that whole report.
That was a stealth move, right?
This is not good because here's a problem that they've got now. Even if, let's say, he's told that, you know, this wasn't all that it was cracked up, that there was some stuff there, but it wasn't as bad. there's a lack of trust now.
Exactly.
If players cannot – it's hard enough to trust the damn process. Now you're trying to, you can't trust the GM who's part of the process.
Right.
Because
– He has to go.
Because players, they're not going to forget about this. Players you want to get, damn sure they're going to forget about this. I mean, you want to talk about bringing LeBron James to Philly? LeBron's like, seriously? I might as well stay in Cleveland.
Hey, before LeBron was signed there, he'd get rid of Colangelo. He's saying, you got to get rid of this dude.
Oh, and it would, and they would, and not only that, LeBron, get rid of Colangelo, and I want you to hire him.
This guy, yeah.
LeBron would have to take control of that situation for him to even consider going to Philly. And I don't think Philly ownership was willing to do that for any player, to let them dictate the terms like that.
But Colangelo's gone, right?
He has to be. I just don't see a pathway that Philadelphia can go forward with this guy in that position, and with the lack of trust that has basically emerged.
Yeah, if you're Embiid, and we already seen Embiid out there tweeting, clowning him. I mean, if you're Simmons, you can't look at this dude and trust him.
No.
And so as much as Philly, you know, was trending in the right direction, great season.
This is the kind of thing that can absolutely bring all that to a halt and start you in the process
of regressing.
That's
why you got to cut ties right now.
You do.
Get it over with.
Absolutely.
All right, Sherrod, good stuff, man. Sorry to see the season's over, but, man, we're looking forward to next season already.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, we got the draft coming up in a few weeks, see if the Celtics make any moves. Also, Summer League. Does Tatum play in Summer League, you think?
I think he'll play a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he'll play.
Just like the Jaylen Brown situation?
Yeah, like Jaylen Brown. I think Donovan Mitchell, when he goes out there, those guys will play a little
games,
bit. But they're not going to beat, because there's nothing for them to gain.
Exactly.
We already know what they can do. They just need the conditioning, work out with the team, get a few shots up, you know, boofing on somebody every now and then, remind them that,
stretch,
you know, I'm still kind of
a little bit. Yeah, no doubt. All right, A. Sherrod Blakely. Hey, that'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you check out our Anything Is Potable podcast. That's where, right?
That was clever.
I know. I don't know who came up with that. Somebody got paid for that, right?
Yeah, I know it wasn't you.
It's a podcast looking back at the 2008 NBA champion Boston Celtics. Extended interviews from our documentary, Anything Is Possible. It's going to be great. Look for that later this summer. You can always subscribe on Apple Podcasts, any of your favorite podcasting apps as well. It's the Celtics Talk podcast. For A. Sherrod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time.
We out!